get on down.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Wednesday, March 6th. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to discuss Bitcoin's all-time high that came through in the past 24 hours and subsequent hardcore dump, $6,000, $7,000 dump off of that, bounced right back as it does. Very interesting times right now. Ethereum has had a bit of a rally as NFTs continue to bleed. Hopefully, Ordinals NFTs continue to bleed. And then we'll be joined by a guest that we've had on the show before, but he's at a new company now, Ryan Wyatt, the chief growth officer at Optimism, to discuss all things Ethereum, layer twos, and what the future is for Optimism and crypto creators. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
Chief
stuff.
Growth officer. That's a good title.
Do you view yourself as a chief growth officer?
I do, actually. And I think it's really about a mindset sort of thing. So I'm wondering if he can come on and just talk about mindset and sort of some of his favorite growth books that he reads in terms of, and how he motivates people to get that growth mindset.
What happens if he comes on and he doesn't know any of the growth books?
Well, he's immediately disqualified and we may have to short Optimism.
Well, that's a pretty extreme scenario.
It's really a binary outcome. Either you're going long or short on it. Or, like, are you going to fade it or are you going to participate? And I think he's sort of a determining factor as to whether or not you're going to do it.
I mean, a lot of pressure on Ryan Wyatt this morning coming on the show. Nick might end up shorting as as the outcome of today's show.
If he doesn't perform well, that is definitively an outcome. And when I short in size.
Do you?
Yeah, a lot of people have been surprised at how hard I short.
Jack, did you say you wanted to? You know, not today, tomorrow. Oh, you need your coffee. Okay. Clemente?
Live report. Optimism is down 15 cents since Nick said he would short in size. It's currently at $4.61, $4.6 billion market cap.
That's a big drop. A lot of people are waiting. The market's waiting on what determination I make from Ryan's performance. So, and I think a lot of people will be able to read into the tea leaves based on the commentary that he makes. I don't know if a lot of people recognize this, but the last guest who came on that was an executive got fired. and that's somebody who is actually known for being CEO of one of the basically the top NFT project. That project has been imploding ever since. What we're going to need is Gargamel to come on to sort of see if his performance can turn the ship around, because the market is really waiting to see how will they perform on the morning show. That's the question that the whole market's asking. Bitcoin actually was not able to pump until Satoshi came on to actually talk about where he thought the future of Bitcoin was going to go. So I don't know. I think this is really the main market signal at this point, is the show. So I'm really excited. Ryan, lots of pressure. He's probably going for a run or something like that to get himself psyched up, or giving himself a growth mindset talk in the mirror to basically say, you're a leader, you're special, you're gonna lead this company to success, and you're going to crush this show this morning. This is bigger than all other earnings reports. Steve Jobs, when he was alive, actually, before he would go on his earnings reports, when he would go speak to the public, he would actually come on my podcast. A lot of people don't know this. And
what was that podcast called?
The Future of Tech. and so that's what it was called, the Future of Tech Show. With Nick O'Neill.
you are the voice of the future.
Bill Gates, Steve Jobs,
O'Neill,
Mark Zuckerberg, the Nick O'Neill Show, Future of Tech.
I will say, Nick, since the Nifty Nick stamp of approval on Mog coin yesterday, it is up 47% since your call, since your stamp of approval. Did you buy in addition to that call?
I did late. I just bought into it this morning, Clemente.
Wait. Nick made that call?
Easy, please. The Mog, they call me the Mog Visionary, and I Mog hard every MV. Morning. Yeah.
MVO, Mog Visionary O'Neill. MVO, can you take us through the weather report, please?
Yeah, sure, I'll do that. And just remember, one of our core company values, Easy, is that I'm the greatest. Weather report this morning, ETH market volume 41 million. Bitcoin is 30 million. I wonder if the Bitcoin community is feeling like a bunch of losers.
A little bit.
How's it still 41 million on ETH despite it dumping? Like, what's going on there?
I think people are pricing in
Never mind.
Is it just a bunch of people dumping? I guess so. Solana market volume approximately flat. I think yesterday it was 14 million. Today we're at 13 million. So it's pretty much flat. Don't worry, Solana. It's going to come back. This market moves in cycles. You want to be buying when everything's dumping. That's the way that it goes. A lot of people were like, oh, it's over yesterday. I just bought more. I just keep buying.
What an animal.
The visionary himself. NFT market leaders, mutants are down 9% to under 3 ETH. Are we really under 3 ETH at this point?
This is a round trip.
2.89 ETH. Latest update.
I'll hold it to zero. Pudgy's down 6% to 14.6 ETH. That's the one that's looking most promising to me.
Sub 14 right now.
Wow.
Sub 14. Holy
shit. Since this show started, we are seeing a precipitous drop on ETH NFTs, but continue.
Wow. And Moonbirds fall back below 1 ETH.
0.89 now.
Remember how I sold mine on those? Never even recovered since then. Again, Nick O'Neill, the visionary. Over on Solana, Fergana's up over 10% to 4 SOL. Why is that even in this weather report? Fergana's is just like completely traded. Okay, Jesus. And Parcel's up 29% to 14.7 SOL. On Ordinals, Bitcoin puppets are down 11% to 0.2 BTC. Thank God. And Natcats are down 16% to 0.12 BTC. I'm not going to be buying any of those Natcats. Over the past 24 hours, Bitcoin hit a new all-time high of over 69K on Coinbase yesterday, then proceeded to fall like a knife down to 59K, liquidating both longs and shorts with crazy volatility. It's now, I didn't get liquidated. I just bought. It's now rebounded to its current price of over 66K, getting outgained by Ethereum. That English is interesting. That's interesting English, which flirted with 3,900 for the first time since December 2021. It was kissing it. A little bit of a tongue lick, we may even say.
Wait a minute.
Ethereum gets inappropriate, dude. Mutant Apes dropped below mint price for the first time. We just said that. The collection minted in August 2021. We all know this. Apes are setting new local lows as well, dipping below 18 ETH. Ouchie. Over on Ordinals, Node Monkeys had a wild day of price action, starting at 0.9 Bitcoin, dumping as low as 0.64. Ooh, that seemed like an opportunity. And currently at 0.7 BTC with a Pepe Bade trait Node Monkey also selling for 4.5 Bitcoin. Quantum Cats also announced that Cat 396 has evolved and received a golden cape tied to Taproot Wizard's lore, which can be redeemed for a wizard when they launch. Cats currently hold a 0.4 BTC floor. That's up. Quantum Cats looking strong.
Is that what it's at right now?
Yep, 0.4.
All Jack right. Feeling good about that trade right now. He was he bought this thing and then just keeps asking, should I sell? Should I sell? Should I sell? I'm like, dude, what?
Jack checks the prices a lot. He also was supposed to come on the show today, but he's getting cold feet.
It's like, this guy is uncomfortable holding. If you're not comfortable holding it, get the hell out, Jack. Lastly, meme coins. We should just shit on Jack this whole show because he's unwilling to come on the show. So we'll just
that. The other thing is that like people don't acknowledge him as a human. And like literally, I've tried to like people ask me about how the business is going. I try to bring up Jack. They just won't acknowledge him because they don't see him on camera.
Well, he's beyond human. That's the impact that he's had. Lastly, meme coins continue to stay red hot with Whiff up 20%. And reaching a $2.2 billion market cap and new all-time high. MOG up 45% to 360 million. But Pepe, Bonk, and Doge are bleeding 10 to 15%. I don't know. That's not that big of a bleed. By the way, yesterday people were asking if I had exposure to this. I said no. Incorrectly. Turned out I just found $5,500 of Pepe sitting in my ETH wallet, which was... Talk about an exciting day. The Pepe chart was straight up.
You were very excited. Dude, that was genuine Nick excitement.
That was found money. That was incredible. And I'm going to be honest. It made me happy throughout the day.
Well, there you go. So look, fantastic weather report as usual, Nick. The Daily Digest, I guess we're calling it Daily Bones. And I don't know if that rebrand has actually gone through. But basically,
this is in the process. We like to be progressive with everything.
Uh-huh.
Just like the liberals.
Okay. Anyway, it's posted to X platform every morning and it's pinned up top. It's emailed to anyone that's subscribed at thenifty.com. First story, Jupiter has experienced issues with its perpetual exchange due to a massive surge in demand, causing some users to not be able to close positions. Jupe token is down a whopping 5% to 56
Holy
cents.
Cow.
I know. I don't know how they're going to recover.
Jump out the window.
Revolut joins forces with MetaMask to offer Revolut Ramp, which offers a way for users to make crypto purchases directly into MetaMask wallets. You're seeing you're seeing the Revoluts and the Robinhoods of the world actually partnering with crypto native platforms to allow retail to come in and just like really send some of this shit. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Next story, Dookie Dash Unclog tournament starts today for beta testers to compete in. So we'll have to see what happens.
Maybe they can unclog the floor.
Last story, two Ether rocks sold yesterday for 209 Ethereum and 228 Ethereum. The current floor is literally 536 Ethereum with only two listed. Obviously, like that's not a real floor because it's a scarce, 100 piece collection.
Still million dollar trades on these things. This is ridiculous.
It's crazy. The other thing is that I feel like Ether rocks was literally brought up during the bear market as like, look at just how stupid the NFT market got during the bull market. And the fact that as soon as NFTs come back, they're like, yo, give me those rocks is pretty crazy. I did not see that coming at all. That's wild. I don't, you know, who else
didn't
see that coming?
Well, one sold at Christie's or Sotheby's, one of them.
Right. Regardless, Spencer didn't buy these rocks. Where was Spencer Ventures on this one? But you hear him talk about the wins. Spencer, where you at on these? You know,
he only made $3-5 million on Pudgy. So like, God forbid.
No, more like $15 million. But the thing I was going to say is like, he didn't make money by buying things at high prices.
Yeah.
He made money by buying Pudgies at incredibly low prices.
And he buys fastball down the middle, and Ether rocks is a harder one. What's up?
The more sophisticated funds like the Bodago Super PAC are actually more interested in those types of
plays.
Yeah. The more alternative
investments.
You know, how big is the portfolio now of the Super PAC?
We are up to 0.4 Bitcoin.
That's very impressive.
Pretty good.
What was the total allocation to start?
We put in
assets under management.
I believe we have 10 or 11 people, and I put in 0.018 BTC. I believe now I have 0.03.
Well, you don't have anything.
You're up 100% right now, basically, almost. I rounded up.
I get roasted a lot in there because they say I do not contribute much.
Oh,
wow. Frankly, they say I flood their bags during the show, which is not a good look. The Super PAC.
But you're actually promoting the Super PAC.
Oh, so we started with 0.16.
Why haven't they moved into the Discord? Why didn't we give them a channel or something like that? Why are they still in another Discord?
Well, that's a Guapo question. You can ask Guapo that. What I was also going to say is I feel like the advertising that you do of the Super PAC could potentially lead a whale investor to have interest.
There were multiple people that reached out to me. They're like, I want to get exposure to ordinals. Can I give you 0.2 Bitcoin? I'm like, dude, I don't know if we're ready for that.
not exactly the reaction that people are looking for.
Dude, what type of investment manager are you?
Dude, well, I'm like, is this legal? Like, can I take that much money right now?
The worst part is too, it's like they're going to you and you don't manage the fund. No. So they're like going to come out there like, hey, can we give you the money? And he's like, listen, I gotta take this up the chain.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just the marketing guy, dude.
I did have an investor give me one of our investors gave me money to manage in a Solana wallet. She's up a significant amount.
Like that's awesome. That makes me happy.
She gave me like $5K, and I think I've made her like $40,000 or something like that.
What do you get on that? 2 and 20?
But I actually just offered to do it for free. She was like, "Just let me trade alongside you," and I was like, "Okay." And the problem is now it's like in this wallet that I had moved money into from my account, and now I'm like, I don't want this ever coming back to my account. Can I just send it to you? And she's like, I don't even know what that means. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm just like keeping it in this wallet in perpetuity. Like maybe it's her like child's like, inheritance or something.
In Soul in that wallet?
I've just been holding Soul for most of this stuff.
Honestly, that's what you probably should leave it in Soul.
There's some NFTs that are in there as well. But yeah, I'll eventually swap it to USDC once she gets a big enough pump. But I'm expecting that thing to turn into like a couple hundred grand, basically. Easy. Yeah, I'm pretty excited off of like $5K that she gave me.
And what about that that boo thing you were talking to that also asked, how do I buy crypto? That's also a very
She's not a boo thing.
Oh.
like there's been no dating with this person. who just sent me a message. I'd met someone on like who had texted with somebody and we had not facilitated anything. And out of nowhere, I get a message from the person being like, yo, how do I buy crypto? I think I exchanged like three messages with the person, but that was,
did you just send them your wallet?
When that came out of nowhere, I was like, sorry. I don't know. I think the person could be a scammer. I have no idea. Like literally I've only exchanged a couple of messages with them. Well, not really a boo thing.
Very interesting stuff. Look, we have a lot of meat on the bone here before Ryan Wyatt joins. I'm very excited to get through this. So first question is just, can Yuga Labs turn it around?
No.
Some of the highlights is Bored Ape Yacht Club has reached new lows as a collection. Mutant Ape Yacht Clubs are trading below mint price, which is insane. That is, ladies and gentlemen, let me just really communicate this to you. If you're newer to the space or you weren't around for the entire previous NFT cycle.
None of our listeners.
Mutant, some of them. Clemente literally wasn't around at that time, so there you go.
He wasn't even born yet.
So Mutant Ape Yacht Club is a proper round trip at this point, in the sense that Ethereum is literally at the same price or higher than it was at the time that Mutant Ape Yacht Club dropped. So this is a full circle round trip from mint price all the way to 120,000 plus US dollars, 40 Ethereum floor, all the way back down. Wild. Absolutely wild. Only happens in crypto. Crazy.
I made over $400,000 just from Mutants.
Mutant Ape Yacht Club. There you go. Yeah. Kennel Dogs are at 0.7 Ethereum. I mean, geez, like how are you even thinking about those here? Moonbirds are below one ETH after getting as high as 2.4 on this little mini rally.
Holla at your boy who sold.
Man, people must be pissed about
2.2.
That's crazy. So upcoming catalyst, we have the Dookie Dash Unclogged coming in Q2. I saw Daniel Allegre actually pumping that. He's proud of the product that he got to market. Other side activations, Ape Chain, and of course the Miami Clubhouse. I mean, I know which one of these. The Dookie Dash is the most interesting for Web3.
They're just going to have therapists at the clubhouse.
So which is the most interesting asset under the Yuga umbrella
Dookie
here?
Dookie Dash Unclogged.
So what is that? Is it a pass?
I think so.
That's your number one asset?
Well, I think from a marketing standpoint, absolutely. Right now, we don't have a set date.
You got to pull that mic to your mouth.
We don't have a set date on when the clubhouse will be coming live, but the Dookie Dash Unclogged has a tournament with $1 million prize pool coming. So like anticipation of like esports, gamers, stuff like that, like we saw with Mongrel coming back. I think that is like the leader for the marketing side of things right now. I think they, especially with the FUD for Legends of Damara that's going around right now, they need to really try to focus on the gaming side considering they have other side launching, and that could be a generational level fumble if they mess that up.
I mean, a generational fumble.
Generational fumble.
That sounds like a text message we get from Spencer or something like that.
Anyway, I think from my perspective, I think what you'd be banking on is like Mutant Apes or Bored Apes and Kennel Dogs becoming just a cherished collectible. It takes time for that stuff to play out, like a long time. So I don't know what the bottom is. I don't know if it keeps going down. There will be a bottom. There will be a rebound. I don't know where it is. I'm not participating for sure.
I'm holding my mutant. That just seems like I do like the exposure.
In 20 years, the mutant will be valuable.
The collapse the collapse of Yuga right now is honestly on a price standpoint. It's not like the business, anything structurally has changed in a dramatic way other than the removal of the CEO. It was completely not in touch with the DGen audience, basically.
Big Nick, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
At what price point would you add another mutant?
I've never been as big. The question is, where would you buy an ape?
Under 15 ETH.
Well, what's the US dollar value?
I hate the US
dollar. I think it could go to 10 Ethereum. I think it actually could. 10 Ethereum is a lot.
What would Pudgy be at?
Well, Pudgy's just doing its own thing. Pudgy's literally trending the other way.
That chart.
Well, not right now.
So it's so bad.
I mean, in terms of just overall trajectory.
So the floor price on Apes is 18. And the floor price on Pudgy is 15.8.
14.
So I feel like there is a relativity basis here. And so that's something that I would not overlook. Right now, the overall ETH NFT space is just getting absolutely punished. In all honesty, when are you looking for a time to buy? And I feel like the best time to buy is when everything's just getting absolutely wrecked,
okay,
frankly.
Okay, even touch 2 ETH, I'm buying.
So The next topic is ETH NFT disaster. Clemente titled it. It's ETH NFTs are continuing to bleed. What's the best buy below 2 ETH right now, right? So this is in line with what Nick was just talking about. We got 6 collections here. Little Pudgies at 1.2, Pixelmon at 1.4, Elementals at 0.37, Doodles at 1.78, and Sappy Seals at 0.9. I have two these collections.
It's Pixelmon.
My response was going to be Little Pudgies for sure. Easy is saying Pixelmon at 1.4. Why?
Little Pudgies have 20,000 assets, right? Mm-hmm. So significantly larger supply. Pixelmon has their TGE coming up with the Mon token. Mm-hmm. And we just saw how well
TGE, ladies and gentlemen.
Token
generation event. Yep.
The launch of their token. And the thesis so far for, like, quote, this meta has been gaming tokens. Portal doing what it just did. Frentech points selling for $2 OTC. The market's red hot for tokens right now. And I think that with that, we've already got the tokenomics for Pixelmon. It's extremely, extremely holder friendly, which is a great thing to see. So once that token drops, I think you're going to end up being able to capitalize on that, hold the asset, and make significantly more upside, especially with other unlocks and things like that. They just launched a game that you can actually get access to the token for as well, which is like a Farmville style pixel farming game for their Pixelmon. And I just think the Mon token is going to continue to trend up like we saw with Portal Coin as it gets closer to the TGE. We also see meme coins sending right now, which is a great sign for NFT tokens. And I just think overall at a 1.4 ETH price, that feels like it's slightly undervalued. I think those end up pushing upside over 2. We saw creeps rally as high as 5.5 when Portal Coin launched. So I think as we get closer to the token launch, we're going to see a nice rally there for Pixelmon.
Update on that. The Mon presale was about $0.11 per token. If you participated, this was last week. It's trading at $1.50 to $2 pre-market.
So what's up,
already
Mon?
A 10x. What's up, Mon? There you go.
So Easy said Pixelmon. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, you shouldn't feel bad if you didn't know the TGE abbreviation, just because, fun fact, the industry guys will present lingo like that to you and just make you ask them what it means. It's like, yeah, we're going to actually be holding that through the HOO. And it's just like, what's the HOO? And then they're like, oh, the helium, overdose operation. So don't worry about it if you didn't.
What?
I'm just like making it up. The way, like, you'll get on calls with these guys, they'll say like TGE, and it's the first time you heard it, and you're like, oh, what's that? And it's like, oh, you're an idiot. Anyway, my call.
That just feels like your personal insecurity.
When did you find out what TGE meant?
Recently.
Exactly.
I think Easy is the one that just keeps dropping these acronyms, basically.
Well, anyway, but it is something that the industry guys use. So look, so my pick out of these, and it's a biased pick because I own them, but then again, I own two of them, would be Little Pudgies at 1.2, with the fundamental thought process of, do I think that the all-time high for Pudgy Penguins ecosystem has already happened in ETH terms? If you think it already has happened and Pudgy Penguins will never go higher in ETH terms than they already have, then I totally understand. But I'm making the fundamental assessment that we have not yet seen a new all-time high will be made. And thus 1.2 ETH, I didn't even know that they were this low. I'll probably...
We're almost down to where I bought in. My Sappy Seals buy is down 50%.
And so Sappy Seals, right? I own one. I don't necessarily have the same level of, like, without question, this will make a new all-time high, but I also would bet that this will make a new all-time high. Yes.
Well, it's just, I think, a good idea to get into ETH NFTs if you're going to buy. You don't want to buy when Clemente is talking and throwing out wild numbers, which is when I buy. Instead, you want to buy when everyone's just dunking on ETH NFTs.
But I think there's a better way to navigate this, too, is just throw bids out. Like, why would you not throw a bid out for 1.05 on a Little Pudgy and throw a bid out on a seal for like 10, 20% under the floor? Because right now, when there's these mass liquidation events, you're extremely likely to get filled on that bid and get an even better price, which automatically has you in the green. Like, it's a bidder's market when NFTs are selling off this heavy because people are hyper-focused on getting liquid. And I think that's how you should navigate it. Like, if these prices look interesting to you, throw a 10% under floor bid, and I would bet money that you get picked up with one of the
What do you keep looking at, Pia?
I was just checking if maybe the coffee got here.
My pick, I agree, actually, the Little Pudgies. You know, they have their WTL, which is the Walmart toy launch, and then they have the CTA, which is a crypto token. Those are all big catalysts.
Sorry, what was the CTA?
The CTA is crypto token airdrops.
Okay.
Because, they're going to be getting the Blast Aloe. They're going to be getting MA, which is Max Aloe for a lot of these airdrops. So I like, I like
about the pop as well, the POP, the Project Overpass, which
but
is the IP.
In all seriousness, like, so I actually would be curious, Nick, do you think we've seen the all-time high and it'll never break the all-time high in ETH terms for Pudgy Penguins at this point?
No, I don't.
Nick hates being touched at all. Like, literally this, like a friendly little, like, hey, Nick, what do you think? That's like, he's going to remember that tomorrow. He's going to be like, oh.
What do you think about this?
P.O., I didn't touch a knee, dude. I didn't know. Yeah. Like, look at this guy.
Stop.
Dude, I'm like, okay. Anyway.
Yo, respect my physical space, you know? Although we are in Miami, so people are will stand a little bit closer slightly. Mm.
Okay.
You know, people like to get physical.
Literally, don't go to like Greece. Don't go to Greece, Spain, or Italy, buddy. They're just going to be, they're going to have their hands all over you.
I'll tell you, I never go to Italy, Pio.
But in all seriousness, do you, like, genuine question, do you think that little putt, it's okay if you do. Do you think that we've seen the all time high and they'll never get to that all time high again?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, then
look,
it's a buy.
We're still waiting on basically when Bitcoin is going to still go up higher.
Yes.
We see this sort of curve happening.
Yes.
And we're going to see that from all the other tokens. And then eventually the NFT space is also going to pop.
When it pops after all the other tokens run, like you're talking about, it's like such an unholy pop.
And I just think that we haven't seen it yet. So
no,
like,
absolutely, we,
the market has not gotten like gone it insanely.
It hasn't gotten frothy, as they say.
But yeah, it's like not gotten unreasonable. We have seen these like temporary dumps. The fact that we're seeing retail start to transition over. There was
so did you see OSF's tweet this morning by chance? I actually thought it was a really good tweet. He said, I don't think retail's back. I think the tourists are back. And what he explained by that was that he feels people who are crypto like aware have downloaded Coinbase before, may have held some things, bought the all-time high and left.
Yeah.
He doesn't think it's true first-time buyers.
Yeah.
It's people who got a new phone, re-downloaded Coinbase for the first time, and got back in.
I don't know. The person texting me asked me how to buy crypto, so that was definitely a first-time buyer.
That person probably is not actually going to buy yet.
So
that's because you've been shilling them sweet nothings late at night about price action.
Elio Trades had his most recent video was really good. It was about when to sell, essentially. His content is actually really good. And so his most recent video, I highly recommend checking out. But one of the things he has, which I ended up following, there's a Twitter account called Coin. I'll have to look it up on my phone, but I don't want to get the feedback right now. Basically, it tracks what the App Store ranking is for Coinbase. And I think it's Coin App Tracker or something like that. And you can just get notifications on to see where it's at. It spiked significantly and then just pulled back. But it was basically across all apps, it's at like 44 in the finance category. It's at 4 right now. When it hits 1, that usually marks the
like
the
literally
top.
The number one app in the App Store.
Yeah.
It is currently number 7 in finance.
Yeah. I know. But that's not the total overall one that I was talking about. And actually it hit like 4 yesterday. It pulled back. It was at 44. I think it's at like 48 in terms of overall apps. When it hits 1, that's often a top.
Well, it's definitely not the bottom.
So I'm trying to figure out, did I get another one? Did I get another Jack?
Ladies and gentlemen, real quickly, yesterday morning, Nick was throwing a
we
fit.
Don't need to discuss that. I wasn't
quick,
throwing a
he
fit.
He was literally throwing a fit before the show, and it was because he didn't get in on a coffee order, and it was almost like, I can't do the show without my coffee.
That wasn't what I said. That was how you guys all internalized it.
And then our head of strategy, Jack, literally just trying to be a problem solver, he comes in, he goes, I'll go to the coffee shop. What would you like? And Nick goes, can you get me a decaf? And we're all just like, you're throwing a fit. You can't do the show without your decaf. Can't do your show without a decaf, buddy. Pretty funny stuff.
Pio's a pretentious coffee person, like just an absolute jerk when it comes to coffee and a lot of other things, but but heavily on the coffee side.
Oh, Ryan's here. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Ryan Wyatt, the chief growth officer at Optimism, the ex-president.
Can we see him on the screen?
Of Polygon Labs. We can see him on Clemente's screen, if Clemente turns it. And the ex-global head of gaming at YouTube, New Digs, Ryan. How's it going?
Good, man. How you boys doing? You guys look like you're having a lot of fun. You get your fucking coffee?
Yeah, we have a team offsite down in Miami, just trying to, you know, get the gang together in person. Do you guys do that over at Optimism at all? I'm assuming it's a remote organization.
Offsite? Yeah, we just were in New York about a month ago, and then I'll see everybody in SF in like 3 weeks.
Nice. And you're a SoCal guy, right?
I am. I'm in the San Diego area.
So I just wanted to say, or a quick question, I brought it up before you had the opportunity to come on. As chief growth officer, does that start fundamentally with mindset?
It all starts fundamentally with a mindset, man, every day.
What are your favorite growth books or even just things to get you into the mentality of growth?
Dude, I don't know, but I will tell you, I just finished a book that I absolutely loved, which was called 38 Letters to My Son. It was by Rockefeller, and letters that he wrote to his son over a 30-40 year period. Phenomenal book. Yeah. Does talk about growth in there with Standard Oil and like how he had to go against some of the juggernauts, JP Morgan, and others. So fantastic book. That's my recommendation to you.
I'm gonna have to check that one out. Nick, look. This
it's
gets
easy read.
This,
6, 7, 8 hours max, you'll be through it.
Yeah, that sounds like a fastball down the middle book I'd be interested in. I tell Nick, I like the books that Nick reads, but they are like the modern, like this is how to make your business better book. I'd go a couple hundred years back with Rockefeller. I like the sound of that.
I like both. It turns out that I read a lot, actually, P.O. And so that
if you do struggle with reading, the nice part is because it's like 38 letters, is digestible, you know, 2-3 pages at a time at max or whatever, right? So it's good.
That's good for P.O. because he literally does not read at all. He reads a book once every like 5 years. So I'm excited that he's going to be reading that one.
This is an ADHD friendly one. Don't worry.
There we go. I actually think he'd be better with Audible because he likes listening to podcasts and things like that. And he needs as much help as possible to get information digested.
There's a growth book. Get it going.
I'm really excited about it. And this one gets the pass. A lot of people, before you came on, I just wanted to clarify. I said this is a really monumental moment for Ryan on this show because the market listens to this show to determine and make an assessment of whether or not they're going to go long or short on the underlying tokens. And from this standpoint, this one gets a pass. My guess is that the optimism token is pumping right now just based on that answer. So congratulations.
I wouldn't know. I haven't looked.
So Ryan, you were at Polygon last time you were on the show, Obviously now at Optimism. You know, what kind of went into that move and what do you think about the landscape for L2s right now?
Yeah, there's a lot in those questions. Yeah, man, you know, love my time at Polygon, love Sandeep, had a really good time there. I think for me, you know, Optimism fit more into kind of like the culture and strategy and ethos that I was looking for in this space and loving being a part of the team. And, you know, like 4 months in now and it's been great. As far as the L2 landscape, good question, man. Like, I think what you're going to start seeing thematically is this idea of, because of spam batches 4844, these costs of deploying L2s are going down so much. And so now, for the first time ever, apps can actually say, this is a viable thing that I can launch because it's not going to hemorrhage, you know, millions of dollars for me to operate my own L2. In fact, I can do it for, you know, $1,000 a month in some regard, right? So these kind of things that are happening in the space, you're going to see like roll-ups as a service, really start to capitalize on these opportunity of a bunch of apps wanting their own dedicated app chains. Now, the problem with this and where the meme is like you just have all these L2s. They don't talk to each other. From a user journey standpoint, it's like, you know, you've got assets all spread across all these different chains, right? You're like USDC is over here and ETH's over here. And like, it's very complicated, right? And these user journeys are going to remain pretty complicated for those who aren't like technically savvy or crypto native, if you will. And that's okay. Like, that's just the reality where the space is. But everybody is focusing, let's say over the next 12 to 18 months, on what you could call like homogenous block space, if you will, where these, how do you get these L2s to actually connect to each other and do it in a seamless way? And you'll start to see this inside of each one of the ecosystems. So like, you know, Polygon's been, you know, talking about like aggregation layer. We have Superchain where everybody that's on the OP stack, we can connect them. And then you've got Arbitrum with kind of like Orbit L3s that connect into their ecosystem. And so different ways people are approaching it, but thematically the same of we want this like very seamless user journey for folks. And this is obviously going to be really a big catalyst for developers because you're coming into the space, you want to make an app, you want to make a game, whatever you're trying to do. It's really difficult to do just that as a business. And then when you've got to funnel like all of these different users that have to take all these different paths to get assets into your chain, it's really problematic. So you'll start to see stuff get abstracted away, I think, at the wallet layer, where you shouldn't be totally focused on the underlying L2. Maybe these bigger ecosystems like a Base or Optimism's mainnet, you'll have, but you want to really abstract away even talking about the underlying L2. And so I think that's where the space is going over the next year and a half. I think you'll just see different flavors of marketing talking about getting there.
What's the focus of Optimism for this cycle in turn? Because you're talking about, that's connection through each of the different L2s within your ecosystem and potentially beyond. But like you're also talking about just like friction from an adoption standpoint and abstraction away is really just from the standpoint of saying, hey, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to get involved.
Yep.
What do you think, like, in terms of what this current development cycle, like, what are the things that are actually going to make it easier for people to onboard to L2s like Optimism? And actually, is that how Optimism is currently categorized, is just L2? Or, like, how do you guys describe it right now? And what is the transition? What's the process for people to get onboarded? How's the friction going to be removed during this cycle?
Yeah. So step one, like what you want is like getting everybody to build an OP stack. And so you've got, you know, Zora and Base and all of these large L2s that are choosing to use OP stack as their blockchain. So, you know, Base is built on Optimism and Zora and all these different, you know, L2s that are focused on spinning up their chain. We want them all to be on OP stack and build with Optimism's kind of like blockchain out of the box, if you will. Why do we want that? Is because when they are on these standard configurations, it allows us to seamlessly connect these things, right? It allows us to have this homogenous block space, what we call superchain, right? Those are the people that are part of the ecosystem. And so what do we focus on? It's all of that. Like, we're at a little bit maybe of a different layer. Like, you're starting to see kind of the traditional L2s take different approaches, right? You know, like Arbitrum really focusing on L3s that can launch anywhere, which is pretty cool. Polygon thinking about like, how can they advance their ZK prover technology and be the prover part? We want to be like the underlying infrastructure across the board that all of these blockchains that are of any size and scale, of any TVL, of any meaningful value, are launched on OP stack, right? Like, that's our underlying blockchain out of the box, if you will, in more like simplified terms.
So
the reason that's like our focus is because of that user journey is really difficult. So it's like, okay, now you have all of these people in the ecosystem, they've chosen to build on OP stack. What do they get because they build on OP stack? Well, they get access to the airdrops, which there's like 800 million OP tokens left to give out for airdrops. There's 800 million tokens left to give out for retro public goods funding. And that goes to those who are in the superchain, right? So there are projects that get put up. If you develop X, Y, and Z, you can have the potential to get funded. There are activities that we just recently did an airdrop that was around NFTs as a follow-up to the We Like the Art campaign, where creators across Base, Zora, OP Mainnet, wherever you minted inside of the superchain, we're eligible for these tokens. And so we want to like continue to connect these. And why do they get access to that? Well, they contribute fees back to Optimism, right? Like, when you launch on OP stack and you are paying a percentage of fees back to the Optimism Collective, which will fund this forever, right? Now, we have to obviously get this jump start, which is what these tokens are allocated for. And that can last, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you know, as far as that token allocation. But then you want to have so many L2s built on the OP stack that are pushing so much revenue back into the collective. And that it becomes like an economic flywheel where like you always have money to pull from to continue to fund development on top of the ecosystem.
So
what you ultimately start to think about Optimism is just like all of these blockchains. So what I'm like, build on, like, games come to me, they're like, should we be on OP mainnet or Base? I'm like, build on Base. Like, it doesn't matter. Build where it's best for you, because all of these chains are on Optimism, right? And like, that's how we think of it, as like one big network.
So growth fundamentally comes from developers for you, not from actually developing progressive user experiences. The developers, that's their job to do. Basically the synopsis of your position.
Yes and no. I think what we, as like the underlying infrastructure and network, we need to make it really seamless so that developers can just focus on the thing that they're building. The problem is like developers have to take on so much extra baggage. They're like, you know, network switching and bridging and then having liquidity in their L2. It's like, that's not really fair for developers who are just trying to build something, which is, you're already stacked against incredible odds as a founder and like building something in this space, right? And so you've got to do whatever you can, like the underlying networks, to remove that baggage. And so what are they faced with is that network switching and bridging issue. We've got to abstract that away. My point is, if we focus on getting all of these folks to that are making decisions that they're going to spin up L2s to build on OP stack, we can connect all of them. And then you can abstract it away at the wallet level. Like, right? Like at some point, what we want to see inside the Superchain ecosystem is, say you're on Zora and you want to like buy an NFT, but you have ETH on OP mainnet, you have ETH on Base, and you've got ETH on Mode. You shouldn't have to think about like, fuck, I gotta bridge these three things back in over here to Zora so that I have my ETH to be able to buy this NFT. No, fuck that, dude. You should just be able to buy that thing into the wallet. That gets passed back. You don't need to worry about that. You get the best kind of slippage rate there, and boom, it's done. Right? You have it. Like, that is what we are building towards. And that's the expectation that users and developers should have when they make a decision to build anywhere in the Optimism ecosystem.
And if you, oh, go ahead, Nick.
And I was going to say Easy has a question, but we're going to say Easy.
Just a quick question here too. With
put the mic in front of your mouth.
With a hyper focus of like the developer side of things, are there incentives for developers, subchains, everything else that kind of piles up into this? Like, I'm curious what that
looks
like.
Well, he talked about the airdrops that go. It sounds like it's incentives from that standpoint to the developer ecosystem.
There's two categories for developers, right? So developers, we do public goods funding as well, right? And so what that is we will list out, you know, five different programs this year, which will talk, there'll be different programs that will have, that'll have different token allocations dedicated to them. And it will have what, you know, are you building towards OP stack? Are you building tools? Like, what are you building towards? Are you maybe games, like maybe apps? Like, you can have these different programs and different incentives to try to drive the right outcomes and make sure that people have visibility that they can expect some kind of grant, right? So you want to, another developer pain point is like that, right? Runway, getting money. If we lay out very clear things that if you do X, you get Y, for our developers, that's a huge win. So we want to be like really transparent. We want to show what kind of stuff should be being developed, what's good, all of that. So that's like in our public goods funding bucket. And so people are building towards that. You know, maybe it's like Etherscan is pretty expensive for L2s to run. So like a developer has to take that cost on. Maybe you start to invest in subsidized block explorers to like bring that down for developers. Like there's a bunch of different things that you can do. So there's this whole bucket of things that are going to reward developers, right? But then you do have airdrops. Airdrops can be users or developer, right? Like they can go to both. They can go to either or. And that's another like 800 million tokens that have not been given out yet. This stuff, and by the way, these are all public numbers. You can look at the tokenomics of how much has been spent versus how much is still to be allocated. And they are very specifically allocated to these. Like when Optimism, because it's so core to Optimism's ethos, when it launched its token design, these are allocated towards this. So like developers can be like, If you're building an app on Base, you get access to this. In fact, I think in the last public goods funding, we like I think like almost like $30 million went to Base developers for their contributions to the Optimism ecosystem and like their development work and the activity that they started to generate for the network.
And Ryan, if you kind of had to sum it up, just because the ecosystem is growing fast, there's a lot of really like kind of big names that everybody sort of knows at this point. You mentioned, we're talking about Optimism now. There's obviously, you know, Blast and other L2s and L1s. If you had to kind of like just sum it up, what would Optimism's niche be? Like, where is Optimism's place in crypto?
Yeah, I think this concept of homogeneous block space and impact equals profit is squarely where we sit. Like what we're talking about right now is unique to only Optimism. Nobody's doing anything like this. There might be different flavors, like we talked about, of like, oh, you want to connect the L2s? Like, yeah, of course, that's table stakes though. Like, of course we have to connect the L2s. We can't have a world in crypto where we have thousands of L2s that aren't talking to each other. So some of that stuff's table stakes, but no other program is doing this kind of like economic flywheel where the underlying L2s are giving back to the ecosystem, where the people that are deploying dApps on top of these chains inside of superchains are getting access to a large, 800 million OP tokens. Would say that's like right now, it's like billions of dollars, you know, and airdrops as well, where users who, you know, are participating or developers are participating have these reward mechanisms. So I think it's pretty unique compared to anybody else. But I like, you know, there's what Blast is doing is like, by the way, Blast, here's a great example of Optimism's like open source ethos. It's an MIT open license. You can go take it. Anybody can go launch it. Blast used the OP stack to build Blast. That's fucking cool, right? It's like has no value to Superchain or Optimism because they're not giving back revenue and they're not part of the Superchain ecosystem. But that's still cool because Optimism allows for that kind of, you know, development in crypto. Another nobody else does that, right? So like there is, we are, I think, so wildly unique to any other L2 or L1. And I think that's like pretty cool. We have like, I feel, our place in the world to contribute.
I'm sort of curious. This is unrelated to the chain ecosystem. Do you hold any random tokens that you're personally interested in at all? And if so, which ones?
No, I don't. You know, like, honestly, man, everything I do is obviously working in the space. Like, I'm fully dedicated to it. You know, I'm like 99% in on crypto as far as net worth, and I still don't feel like that's enough. So just like what I have in, you know, my Ethereum and OP is plenty for me. I don't have time to like mess around or buy anything else.
Is most of it in Ethereum and OP? Do you have like Bitcoin or anything else, Solana or like any alternatives?
I choose not to buy anything else purely out of like a personal position, given what I do. Yeah.
I have a question, Ryan.
I'm bullish on both Bitcoin and Solana, to be honest with you. Like, if I was not working full time in crypto, like in this capacity, I would own both of those for what it's worth.
Ryan, when you look at like L2s and driving users to actually use the L2, for example, and we looked at Blast's launch about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, how they take a much more user native, like speculative approach.
Yeah,
right?
They
like,
do. That's
they have Pacman is a master at like, yes, hey, he use is. This token. And it's like Easy, for example, uses this, like, I mean, it's basically gambling, but it's like on the price action, entertainment product. But like, we see so many people that are like, dude, yeah, I'm losing like $100 a day on this, but I'm stacking my Blast points. Like I'm stacking my points.
So I got a million of them.
I'm curious how you feel about that. And if Optimism has gone like, hey, maybe if we were more speculative driven versus like, it feels like you are a lot more creator driven.
Developer centric. Yeah.
But also on the creator side. But yeah. I'm curious how, if you guys have had those types of conversations and what you feel about this points native approach that Pacman's taking, this more speculative driven approach that he's been taking.
Yeah, I mean, one, I think Pacman's just like incredibly creative, right? Like, as far as anybody in our ecosystem that has a deep understanding of rewarding user journeys, like Pacman's pretty deep there. You can see it with what he did with Blast and obviously, or Blur and obviously Blast now. I think there's a place in this world for that because the beauty about crypto and everything being open, people can do whatever they want and develop whatever they want, good, bad, or indifferent. So I think it's interesting. Like, absolutely. Have I looked at it and have we followed it and talked about it? For sure. It is not what we cater towards, like the speculative nature. We want to build long lasting infrastructure, you know, that people can use for hundreds of years, right? Like it's like a very ambitious, it's obviously crazy to most idea and concept, but that's what we're building towards. And I don't think there's any shortcuts to that, right? You know, the road is long. It's going to continue to be long. And we just need to focus on that and keep working with like the top L2s.
And when you feel like I was talking to someone else that's building on an L2 and they're kind of looking at it on like, hey, we're trying to build for like 100 years, but this right now is kind of a land grab moment. And we're trying to maximize it, go as hard as possible. I feel like it is kind of that dilemma of like, do you build for maximizing usage right now, given that this is so cyclical and like you operate on almost like 2 year cycles where like for the last 2 years, it was like no one cared about crypto. And all of a sudden now it's like, this is the Super Bowl basically for the next year and a half, almost to try to grab as much a land share as possible. I'm curious how you guys are almost navigating that and almost with the mainstream approach coming and the mainstream adoption coming, how you're positioning yourselves as an L2.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think there's definitely some truth in the idea that there's land grab, but there's also, dude, the road's long. Think about last cycle. You know, it was like Terra was, you know, taking all of the games in Asia. They were like crushing it in market cap. And You know, like, look what happened there, right? So you just never know. People counted Solana out, and then Solana's had this great rebound moment. So I don't know. I think there's, yes, there's no doubt. Like, you know, right now I'm talking about, like, we need as many of these people that are making L2 decisions to build an OP stack. There's no doubt that, like, once you commit to a stack, there's a lot of stickiness there. It's not like an easy thing to just, like, go and, you know, be on an entirely different L2 or, like, spin up one. Like, that's, like, not a something any developer wants to have to deal with. So to your point, like, I think it's fair that there is stickiness when you make an L2 decision. Like, that's the road you're going down as far as the underlying L2 spinning up. Now, dApps, it's like EVM. You know, like, you're going to have a lot of, like, dApps can figure out ways to migrate much easier in an environment that's more friendly to them. So they have, like, more flex. And so it depends on who's making the decision. When I think of, like, X companies launching their own L2, that's a moment now, and that is very sticky. But a dApp that's like, oh, I'm going to launch Blast or Base or whatever, you have to be thoughtful that they have two different routes. One, they can always go to another EVM chain, or two, they can go launch their own L2, which at critical mass, I would expect, right? Like, Farcaster's an optimism. I would fully expect them to be an OP stack L2 at some point. You know, WorldCoin is a dApp, right, on Optimism. I fully expect them to be their own L2 at some point. Part of, like, graduating as an app because you get so big is you don't want to be responsible for what other people are doing with that block space. And that, like, that shits on what you're trying to do when you have these congestions and spikes and all this stuff. And so you want to be able to control your parameters. And as you grow up, like, that will happen. So I guess long-winded, yeah, there's no doubt you have a sense of urgency for some of these OP stacks, whether it's an L3 OP stack or an L2. You want these folks getting on them. I feel less about, like, apps making decisions now. And in general, like, even with my philosophy around games, like, I don't there's going to be a couple really good games, but yet thousands are launching and people talk about, oh, you know, we have hundreds of games. It's like, you know? So I feel like even games, as it starts to emerge, you'll find a couple games and they will have great power to choose where they want to go, right? Do they want to launch on L2 or go to another ecosystem?
And of course, given your background, I do want to cover gaming before we wrap. Just one follow-up question to what Clemente said. Obviously, we run a crypto company as well. From an entrepreneurship perspective, how much does the price of Ethereum actually impact, you know, the Optimism, like, organization? I'm not asking you about price predictions or anything like that, but I just mean, like, the Ethereum ETF is, in my opinion, likely to get approved based on what I've read and what I've listened to. I think it's going to get approved. I think that's going to have a gnarly impact on the price of Ethereum. I just think that it does. What sort of impact does that actually have on the organization?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, on the Ethereum ETF, for me, I don't know if it's this year, but to me, it's like a matter of when, not if. So yeah. I agree on that comment that it will inevitably happen. And I think that's good for the ecosystem because it allows people access to it. Where we talk about user journeys, it's not like the easiest, right? Like, you guys were joking about kind of the Coinbase app and stuff before. It's not like easy to go even, like, pick these things up and participate in the ecosystem. So I think that'll be cool. As far as what it means, we are Ethereum aligned. Everything we're building settles on Ethereum ultimately, right? So, like, of course, we need Ethereum to be this, like, underlying successful settlement layer. And obviously, as ETH continues to go up, that's, like, good for the ecosystem. But it doesn't, as far as, like, the business and grind, doesn't really mean anything, right? You know, we did a fundraise at the foundation in, you know, end of last year. So that capital will last us a very long time. There's no reason for a foundation team to get big at all. A lot of the BD work and scaling and growing the ecosystem app is going to be happening by these L2s that are building these. So, like, again, a Base, a Zora, a Mode, those folks we'll kind of carry the torch. So yeah, that's kind of how I think it from, like, a business health operations, but I want to see Ethereum succeed. Like, I really do. I also am not this crazy maxi. I think there's worlds for, like, I was talking about, like, all L1s. Like, I think there's a world where it's really important for Solana to be around, right? Like, you wouldn't want all of PC to be Windows. Like, it's dope that there's Mac, there's Linux, there's, like, this is good. It's good for the ecosystem. So yeah, I'm Ethereum aligned and we're building on top of it, but that's how I feel about it broadly.
Appreciate the response. And last question, you're a gaming guy, longtime gaming guy, gaming legend. One of the listeners commented on YouTube, you know, what do you make of the current landscape for crypto gaming as it's been coined now? It was blockchain gaming. It was NFT gaming. Now we're just
blockchain going to crypto gaming, gaming, blockchain games, Web3 gaming. I actually, I hate all of those terms. Like, I think of when you're like, oh, you know, like Call of Duty is a cloud game because like there's multiplayer and it's on Google Cloud, right? It's this shitty, silly concept that we use that I completely hate. I think I, you know, when forced to talk about it, because like it obviously, when a game leverages blockchain in any capacity, you know, like you want to acknowledge that. So I do think the short term, it's fine. Like people will do that. Ultimately, I hope it just becomes like a product feature, you know, that people in it that are making games plug into for whatever reason that makes sense to them. And then it doesn't make sense in all, you know, all cases. But obviously some of these games have turned into these huge thriving ecosystems where it would be really beneficial to have that on a blockchain rather than its current, you know, setup of being like closed servers, or closed ecosystems rather. I think as far as where we're at right now, a lot of capital has been injected into it. I'm hopeful we're going to see some really like polished games. And when I say polished, I don't mean like AAA high fidelity. I mean like good games. Like Minecraft to me is not like you can, it's not like from a subjective standpoint, it's not high polished, but that's like a high quality game, full stop. Like the modding, how vibrant and open it is and all the things you can do it as a high quality game. So yeah, I think we'll have a couple emerge at some point in the next like year. The problem is you still have this user journey. And so it's the, you know, like that's a real issue. You know, folks are trying to do these like gasless transactions and stuff to help with that. Games are going on alt DA. So it's like so cheap that the developer can bear the cost of a lot of these transactions. So it's like big breakthroughs that you've already seen that 12 months ago didn't exist. Right. So I am optimistic, no pun intended, that these things are going to get a lot better over the next year. And then you'll see a couple big games emerge from that. At Optimism, we'll make like a couple bets on high quality games, and that'll be it. It's like we don't need to go in and start just like scattering across a bunch of games and, you know, tout how many that we have, because I think this is a quality thing over quantity, particularly in this sector.
Awesome, man. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at Fwiz. Check out Optimism. He's the chief growth officer at Optimism right now. Second time being on the show, sticking around in crypto, not going anywhere, it feels like, Ryan. No,
definitely not, for better or worse.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much for joining. I know it's super early for you. We'd love to have you on again in the future, and best of luck to you at Optimism.
Same, guys. I always have fun coming on and chat with you boys. Have a good trip in Miami hanging out, and good luck with everything.
Thanks, amigo. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Nick.
Don't click the end stream.
Don't click
dude.
The end stream. I'm trying to like literally I put my hand on his arm twice, and he's like, no, I'm going to click it. Ladies and gentlemen, this show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. It's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, Twitter Spaces, YouTube, and X platform video. Yep. Check it out anywhere. If you want to watch the show, subscribe on YouTube.
Who's the Bodago of the day, Clemente?
You know what? It's me. How about that? I'm the goddamn Bodago.
Okay. I just feel like we're just missing the gap there. What's going on? Did we just abandon that sort
Clemente's
of?
Clemente's been trying to end the stream for about a minute now.
Dude,
this kid wants to. So who's like done?
Who's the Bodago of the day? Give me one.
Bodago of the day is God Bounce. And the super pack
he's
success.
Been the Bodago of the day before.
He can't get it again.
Okay, he can't
dude.
Get it again. God
the Bodago
Bounce.
Of the day is Bottle.
Okay,
it
that's
is
okay.
Bottle.
That's okay.
That man has been aggressively pushing the super pack, has led with NatCats in the Discord, and continues to champion the hooded dogs across Twitter. So shout out Bottle for being the Bodago of the day.
Is it bottle.eth on Twitter?
Checking. He's Bottle has been asking me for Zippos. Don't worry, Bottle. I'm optimistic, no pun intended, that you're going to get a Zippo light.
At JRodFanFan. JRodFanFan.
Bottle, we got to do SEO. Something about that. I actually borderline don't even believe that's his handle, even though I'm literally looking at it right now. Do something about that, Bottle. That's not okay. It's literally a not okay tweet.
I'm actually okay with it, dude.
You're okay with it.
Yeah, because you're allowed to do whatever you want. JRodFanFan. Dude, if
Nick goes with the libertarian angle to just body me right there. I gave him a little elbow right here, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell his skin's
okay. Stop. No, the more annoying thing is your desire to do that. Basically,
I want to touch him. He's like, okay. Look at this. Look at that.
JRodFanFan.
JRodFanFan. Merz just said, "Be yourself, Bottle." All right. Okay, everybody. Okay. Anyway, we're gonna wrap, ladies
you
and
got,
gentlemen.
You, anyone else? Who's Pia's dunk on of the day?
It's not dunk on.
No, who is it? Who are you going to dunk on today? Who's the dumbass on Twitter that you think's stupid? Is it all of your followers once again, or do you have someone else? give him a shout out, Pia.
No, shout out to everybody.
Love shout it. Out to everyone that has no, been following no. Pia because
to all the dumb idiots that shorted Bitcoin.
All y'all been fading Bitcoin. All of you that have been listening to this show that are clear, obvious fans of crypto. All y'all been fading Bitcoin all this time. Y'all can go take a hike because Bitcoin is the future of technology and currency.
Well, you're right about that.
And gold. And everyone's going to be building on it.
It's the future
of
underwear.
It's the future of everything.
Yeah, so Dono said, FUD me. I would never FUD you, Dono. I love all of our YouTube followers and you know subscribers and live audience watchers. Shout out to everybody.
I'd
really
like you to dunk
everybody.
On someone. That should be a segment. That
I'll dunk on you, amigo. I'll dunk on you. Anyway, shout out to everyone that listens to the show. You guys are the best. And if someone wants me to dunk on the Filecoin fuckheads, I would never. Shout out to the Filecoin fuckheads. Anyway, everyone, thanks for listening, everyone. Catch you guys next time. You can press the button now, Clemente. Now, Clemente won't press the button. And I just got to stretch. I'm leaving. I'm out. All right, see you guys.
Oh, great. Now we can actually have a proper show.
Leave it running.
Post-credit scenes. This is March picks of the month for the NFT.
Okay, I like this. Post-credit scenes here. I like the post-credit scenes.
All right, see y'all.
See you guys. See you tomorrow.